want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. And as you do so, children grades 3 and under who would like to can go to children's church. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 through 26. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 611. Isaiah 30, 18 through 26. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. Truly, O people in Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When He hears it, He will answer you. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right, or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Then you will defile your silver-covered idols and your gold-plated images. You will scatter them like filthy rags. You will say to them, "Away with you." He will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, and grain, the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. On that day your cattle will graze in broad pastures, and the oxen and donkeys that till the ground will eat silage, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. On every lofty mountain and every high hill there will be brooks running with water, on a day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold like the light of 7 days, on the day when the Lord binds up injuries of His people and heals the wounds inflicted by His blood. I know that y'all know how old I am anyway, but in some ways I'm showing my age, or at least the time in which I grew up. A time when people would oftentimes take the time to walk, to sit back and rock, to swing on a swing, and just to be calm. I realize we did have some rather hectic times on occasion, but after ball practice or playing Cowboys and Indians, cowpersons and Native Americans. I do remember oftentimes just lying down in the grass and looking up at the clouds in the sky and just lying there with friends and sometimes talking about the strange things of which those clouds reminded us. I also remember that Andy Griffith episode, Mary's favorite show, the Andy Griffith show. I guess I should say that tongue in cheek. Where the minister had come, and a guest minister, and talked in the church about how hectic their lives were and how they needed to just slow down and relax. And so they took that to heart. And Andy and Aunt Bee and Opie and Barney were all sitting out on the swing and on the porch later on, and then they got to talking about the minister's sermon, and you know, we sure did miss those days when we had the band stand. Let's go get the band back together, which was a mistake because most of them hadn't played an instrument in next to forever. Let's get the band back together. Somebody's got to sew up the holes that are in the band uniforms. Oh, well, now we got to rebuild the bandstand because it's about to fall down. And they were wearing themselves out and finally decided that they needed to take the message to heart and go back home and sit down because they almost killed themselves getting ready to relax at a band concert. Now, sometimes these days, I'm probably not the only person that wonders where it all went. And by the way, I'm not going to attempt to sing today because the Ventures hit Walk, Don't Run, which is the title of the message, in 1964, did not have any words to it. And I'm not going to attempt to sing the melody. But that attitude, what happened to it? That attitude and the peace of living. And I really do think a lot of it has to do with attitude, even in the hectic world in which we live. It has everything to do with attitude toward life. I mean, look at us today. Instant news, internet, cell phones. Is it off? Okay. Cell phones, smartphones, smarter than I am phones, iPods, iPads, working later, working more. You know, we in the United States work a whole lot more than people in Europe. Ball practice, ball games, dance recitals, rushing to get here or there and not really paying attention sometimes to how we got there. You ever rush someplace and then think back and say, wait a minute, how did I even get here? I don't remember making that turn or going down this road. I check the cell phone and the email at least 2 times a day when we're on vacation, even though the last few years has been declared a cell phone free zone. It's small enough to hide and still check. When you think about it, how do we really get everything done and avoid the health issues of stress, high blood pressure, sheer exhaustion? So now that I've either exhausted or overwhelmed or depressed us all with that litany of being hectic, the question sometimes comes about, how often does God get lost? Or rather, how often do we get lost in the shuffle away from God? And we cry, oh Lord, what in the world can we do? So today I want to spend a few moments looking at this passage in Isaiah for some guidance, for some promises, which might help us to slow down and walk instead of run through life. Because far too often, that's exactly what we do, is it not? We're running at breakneck speed, just hoping we don't break our necks in the process. To find a better way in a hectic and harried world. In much of the first part of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Judah is seen as a people of rebellion. Judah is a people who have been called out by God, but they also find themselves being threatened, in particular by the Assyrian army. And they begin to wonder why God has abandoned them. And in much of Isaiah's preaching and in much of what has been recorded over time, for Isaiah, we find a lot of disaster. The people are even told that some of their worship that they present to God, God hates because of their whole attitude toward doing it. Much of that has been brought on by running here and there and just squeezing God in when it was convenient or when they felt like they were in trouble, as they were searching for the next best thing in life. Actually, much of Isaiah's preaching up to this point, and I think there's even some in this passage, has been very caustic and in many cases very sarcastic. But here, he for a short time seems to stop the anger and the sarcasm that has characterized much of the message before, and comes back to the old and the deep conviction that God does have a purpose But the only way we understand and the only way we become part of that purpose is when we slow down. When we come to God on a regular basis. When we seek the peace that God can bring, even when everything around us pushes us to run headlong. That when we do that, Isaiah still has the conviction that God's love and guidance is present and that God wishes to share that with us. God doesn't want to be lost in the shuffle, but rather God wants us to slow down and listen. On every path of life, not just when we come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday or whatever other time we might decide to arrive. Those in the present, when this passage is written, as well as those in the future who will be patient, will find that that patient faith in God will result in God's intercession, in God's intervention on their behalf. And sometimes people get caught up in religious fervor to the point that they fill their time with loudness and with haste, even in churches, rather than patience and patient listening. And sometimes even there we ask, God, where are you? But Isaiah tells us, behold, God is wanting to be gracious and guiding. The word that we translate here, therefore, at the beginning of this passage, also means behold. And rather than, I agree with some commentators that rather than the writer saying, because of what has gone on before, therefore God will be gracious, it's not a causative action. He's saying, stop a moment and behold God. Slow down and behold God. And behold what God wishes to do for you. That is, to be gracious. We're told here in this passage that God is patiently waiting. Patiently waiting. Waiting for us to slow down. Waiting for us to actually take the time to really search for and see God. He wants to be gracious and merciful. Wants Judah's priorities or our priorities are straight. The writer tells us that when we learn to slow down and really rely on God, we will find a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. Verse 18. Now, most of the time when we talk about justice, we're thinking about legal justice. We're thinking about somebody getting what they deserve. But justice here is not a word of doom and gloom for the people who will slow down and listen to God. It's a sentence, not a sentence of punishment, but it's a statement that God is just and God is fair and that God has placed eternal principles for life and for the good of the world. And He waits with infinite patience to give us deliverance. Not just deliverance from the things out there, and for Judah that would be deliverance from the Assyrian Empire, but deliverance oftentimes from the things that are in here, that are in our hearts, that are in our minds, the things that cause us to miss out on the blessings that God wishes to give. A time of deliverance which, in God's wisdom, sometimes is delayed because we delay it. It's not because of God's selfishness, but oftentimes it's because we run like children along the way because we can't wait to get to the next thing or to move ahead. Oftentimes, when we have Sydney, especially if we're at the zoo or we're at her favorite place to eat, that low-fat dining that is known as Chuck E. Cheese. Picked her up the other day on our way back and put her in the car to take her home to her house. We picked her up early and spent a few hours. And as soon as I buckled her in, she looked up at me and she said, "Granddoc." I said, "Yes, Sydney." And then with this big grin on her face, she said, "You always take me to Chuck E. Cheese." So we're not going to Chuck E. Cheese today. We're going to go to Chick-fil-A, which was almost as good because of the playground. But we have to remind her sometimes. She'll start to take off running. We have to remind, "Sydney, you need to slow down. Wait on Grand Mary. Wait on Grand Doc. Wait on Mommy or Daddy," in order to keep her safe, so that something bad doesn't happen. And oftentimes that's how we are in life. We run headlong like children trying to get ahead to get to the next best thing, while in the meantime God is behind us saying, "Hold on, slow down. Wait a minute. Wait a minute." And sometimes God looks on us, I think, with sadness when we refuse to hear that voice and when we turn to the right or the left and run ahead. But God is there ready to answer. God is there ready to answer our cries, to teach us, sometimes even through the things that we inflict upon ourselves or that others bring into our lives that causes us sadness. God wishes to be there and help us and our world with grace and with mercy. God is there even when we hear another voice, when we turn to the left or to the right, or we rush headlong. God is there giving us a word, seeking to guide us. An open word, as the second hymn today says. God has spoken, but God is also speaking an open word. You know, there are a lot of folks out there who want to take this and slam it shut and say, "Well, you can only think of it this way, you can only read it that way, and no other way works." But God has given us an open Bible and an open mind with which to think and to read and to reason and to find God sometimes in odd places. At least we think they're odd, but for God, they're not, because that's where we are. And so the encouragement is to listen to that voice. The writer says, when we turn to the left or the right, there is that small voice that says, "This is the way. Walk in it." Not run in it, but slow down and walk. Pay attention to what is around and to how God is leading. God is there seeking to guide us. When we run helter-skelter along in life, we miss out on something that walking allows. This wasn't planned, but it's just kind of, you know, sometimes things run in my mind and I say them anyway, and I might get in trouble for this one, but nearly 38 years ago, I took a walk. Could have run. In fact, was thinking about, "Nah, I need to run." But somebody in this room, even though they won't admit it, I think connived with some friends of mine for us to take a walk. And in that walk, we talked and spent a while just walking and being in each other's presence. And then a couple of days later, when the first date happened, we went to the beach and took a walk. Sat on a blanket and then got up and took a walk. And spent time, and relationship developed. And 6 months later, we were married. Walks allow us the opportunity to reflect. Walks allow us the opportunity to spend time in relationship, building relationship. And sometimes those blossom into grand things, and sometimes they simply remain friendships. But when that still small voice says to us in our hectic world, walk this way, it's an invitation to stop running, an invitation to spend time. Time with God that sometimes we forget, and time with God that sometimes we find not just in sitting down and reflecting upon biblical texts or thinking about great theological issues such as if a fly lands in holy water, does it render the holy water unclean or cleanse the fly? But time to find God even in other people and through other people and through events. When we run, we miss those relationships. We miss the deeper teachings that the writer says. Then, if you walk this way, you will find your teacher. You will see your teacher, and your teacher will continue to teach you. And when we run rather than walk, we're much more likely to stumble and to fall. In Hebrew thought, also the verb to walk carries with it the connotation, oftentimes, and in Psalm 1 it definitely does, of pursuing a lifestyle in harmony with something. Go after something with a purpose. Here, the small voice, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the hectic times, says, walk. Walk this way. Pursue purposefully this lifestyle for which God has a purpose. God wishes for us to take the time to recognize the true worth of a life actively pursued within His guiding light, as He mentions in verse 26. We're not talking about soap opera here. Although sometimes our lives become like soap operas, and it is only that guiding light from that still small voice and that relationship that allows us to find our way out of those times. A light far brighter and far more perfect than those of our own pursuits. Notice the mention of seven here. Perfection. It brings blessings when we do this. When we have a hearing ear and a responsive spirit, when we slow down enough to listen and look for the signposts of God's desire and God's purpose, God stands ready to bring blessing. All of the metaphors of farming and gardening here are representative of that blessing that God wishes to give. But just as grain takes time to grow, just as crops must be tended and allowed to grow, so the relationship must be tended and allowed to grow as we listen for that word that God speaks, whether it's in writing, whether it's through a Bible study, whether it's through a thought, whether it's through just what we think is an innocuous event or conversation. As one writer states, and I quote, "An open mind does not need to look far to find God. In nature, in history, books, human character, the Bible, the life and words of Jesus Christ, and in the still small voice of God's Holy Spirit, the promise is abundantly fulfilled." So as we look toward perhaps slowing down, let's not rebuild the bandstand all the time or sew patches on the uniforms. But rather, let us take the time to listen to that still small voice. To slow down and walk through life rather than running headlong and helter-skelter down the path on which we may stumble and fall. But also let us remember that when we do take that path and stumble, God's desire is to hear our cry, to give us gracious deliverance even from ourselves. So walk and learn of God. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your gracious desire for us. Help us to be more attentive to Your presence around us and even in and through us, so that not only might our lives seem less hectic, but our lives and the lives of those around us can truly find Your purpose as we listen to that voice that says, walk this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And though it doesn't always happen when we want it, what God wishes to give us, we will sing about in hymn number 430. There shall be showers of blessing as our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make. If you would please turn to hymn number 430 as we stand and sing, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing.